Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Right Stream Radio Network, rejoicing in the flow of creativity. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Right Stream and hashtag Right Stream. Thanks for listening to the Right Stream Radio Network.
One of your hostesses for this evening. This is the first show that we're doing, Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss, and we are, of course, on the Right Stream Network. My co-hosts are Daria DiGiovanni, who is on the line, and Kristen Fetterman, who is with me as well. So I want to give them a second to introduce themselves. I'm the host of Just Believe Radio on the Right Stream Network. And I'm a metaphysician, board-certified holistic health practitioner, intuitive counselor, and author of the book Just Believe. And we are starting this new show called Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss, which is going to be premiering every Friday at 7 o'clock. Darian, are you there?
I am here, Lisa. How are you?
Good. Yeah, I had a little blank screen thing go on a minute ago, so if I sounded like I was lost, it's because I had no screen. Like, everything just went blank. No callers. Nothing's going on. We're not on the air anymore, but we are. So anyway, introduce yourself, Daria.
Okay. Well, hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us. My name is Daria DiGiovanni. I also go by Daria Ann. I started the RightStream Radio Network in March of this year, and I was so delighted that Lisa was on board with that from the beginning, and she hosts Just Believe, and we have John Gresham, who hosts Military Monday, and it's been kind of fun. We've since expanded to include Family Power Hour, which joined us in August of this year, and now we have Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss. I'm also an independent author, blogger, ghostwriter, editor. I am the author of the book Water Signs, A Story of Love and Renewal, and I am so thrilled to be able to announce that I just completed a ghostwriting project for a client a week ago today, and I'm in the middle of another one for another client, and just busy doing some social media training and building my business, just had a great Thanksgiving. I hope everyone here did as well. I'm just really excited to be a part of Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss with Lisa and Kristen. So welcome, everybody, and we're looking forward to a great premiere tonight.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, too. And I want to just bring Kristen on to introduce herself, although she says she has very little to say. But she's my daughter, so I find that really hard to believe, because as my daughter, she should automatically be a blabbermouth. That should just come with the territory. So, Kristen, tell the world hello.
Hello, I'm Kristen Chatterman. I'm 19. I'm in college and not very good at this whole radio thing, but we'll see how it goes, I guess.
You'll get better.
Sounds
You'll
good
get
to
better.
Me, Kristen.
I think she sounds good, too, right? Sounds good to me, too. We're going to really try and focus a lot for the show, for all the listeners. We're going to we're going to be focusing on a lot of different issues, but they're all going to be women's issues, love, relationships, marriage, parenting, fashion, makeup, skincare, health and wellness, all kinds of things like that. In fact, I'm going to book some guests already booked. I do a lot of the booking for my show and for LLL, which is Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss. And what I've been finding is that I've had a lot of people interested in being on Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss as a guest. And we have somebody lined up that is basically a dating expert on what men really want from women. I can't wait for that show, because I'm like, wow, that would be awesome to finally crack that code, right? What do men really want from women? So that's what we're going to be talking about, coming up here. We've got a lot of different topics we're going to be bringing up. One of them, tonight we're going to be talking to a great friend of mine and just a wonderful lady who is a self-expert. Her name is Tiffany Jamison Vanderluck, and she is she'll be calling in from the Netherlands. So when we bring her on, it's very late where she is. So for her to be our first guest on is really awesome. But one of the things that I wanted to talk about tonight was I am not brave enough to do the Black Friday thing. I'm not brave enough to go out and do the shopping thing on Black Friday. However, my beautiful daughter, Kristen, is brave enough, and she did venture out with my younger daughter last night. So, Kristen, would you like to share what that experience was like for you?
It was okay. I went at a good time. I went before most of the crazy people. So, but by the time we left, we went to the outlets, and by the time we left, there were people like parking in the grass and people stalking other people for their parking spaces. So it was a little crazy, and there were many, many police officers all over the place. And it was interesting.
I won't do Black Friday shopping, and I tell Kristen, okay, you have to take your pepper spray, and you have to remember to carry your keys between your fingers in case anybody, she can smack somebody if they come at you. And, I'm trying to tell her all this stuff. She gets the same lecture every year. She's brave enough to do it. I am not. I stay home. I don't need to go shopping at midnight. If I want to do that, I'll do it on the Internet. I certainly don't need to go out and do it, but she loves doing it every year, and she has a really, really good time with it. She always comes back with lots of purchases for herself. I keep explaining to her that's not the way you're supposed to do Black Friday shopping. You're supposed to be shopping for Christmas presents for other people.
Not all of us go Christmas shopping so early.
Yeah, but that's she's one of those ones also that like the last minute rush, of it. Me, I'm like, if I still have it to worry about after Thanksgiving, I'm stressed out. What about you, Jerry? Did you go anywhere? Did you do any Black Friday shopping?
No, I did not. I do not enjoy that whole rush. I mean, I love Christmas, but I get annoyed every year that it keeps getting moved up earlier and earlier because I love Thanksgiving. And Tiffany, who is on the line, by the way, just told me, she goes, "You guys are making me envious. I'm in the Netherlands and I miss Thanksgiving." And I have to say, I mean, I just get a little bit annoyed, and I don't want to get into a big lecture about this, but I love Thanksgiving, and I just get annoyed with how it's overlooked and the rushes right to Christmas. And even though I do love Christmas, I love giving gifts to people. I love receiving them. Black Friday is just not a day I go out. And actually, just in general, Lisa and Kristen, with the internet now, I know this show is a women's show and all women are supposed to love shopping, but I'm not really a shopper. I love getting things. It's surprising people with things. I love buying things for myself, but I really love buying things online now.
Yeah, I do that too. Kristen likes to shop live. She yells at me all the time she says I never leave the house. I talked about buying a new car. I wanted to buy a Mustang. It's my dream car is a Mustang. And she's like, "Why, Mom? You're never going to go anywhere. You never leave the house. Why would you buy a new car?" I'm like, shut up. I go places. And maybe I'd go more places if I had a Mustang. I don't know. So, we have this debate all the time, but she likes to go live shopping, and I'm like an online shopper. But, who knows? When I was her age, we didn't have online shopping, so I had to do it that way, Who knows what I would have done if I had it. Maybe it's an age thing. I don't know.
Could be. Well, our guest is on the line, Lisa. She confirmed for me that it is after 1 a.m. in the morning where she is. It's like one of the first questions I asked her because I was just really curious. But she is bright and energetic as always, so I'm really excited to start this interview tonight.
Oh, good. Well, why don't you read her bio for everybody and we'll get her on.
Okay. Tonight's guest is Tiffany Jamison Vanderlup, and I'm just going to read briefly from her bio because I just can't wait to bring her on the air and have her tell us all about her work and her background. But Tiffany's most recent bio, she says, "Want more data? Easy way? That's precisely what the world's number one true self facilitator, author, trainer, and attorney, Tiffany Jamison Vanderlup, Esquire, is inviting you to experience through her energetic and enlivening true self facilitation. A self-acknowledged personal development misfit and founder of the Yay Me University," love that name, I just had to interject that there, "Tiffany is on a mission to take you beyond what she playfully calls the space of limitless possibilities and opportunities of self-expertise. Author of three books, her book, The Radical Self-Expert, the fastest, simplest seven-step method to discover how to be your true self, change your life now, and be happy today, the easy way, was number one on the Kindle Amazon bestseller list for self-help, self-esteem, and number two for self-help and happiness. She has developed and created two definitive self-assessments, the True Self Test and the True Self Test. Her radical method unlocks the true self to unblock your true wealth for more days filled with yay, the easy way." And Tiffany, let me apologize for butchering this intro a little bit. I don't know if some things were repeated here, but Lisa, I heard her on your show, Just Believe, a while back, and she is awesome. I can't wait to talk to her tonight and for her to share all of her wisdom and insights with our guests.
She is awesome, and I thought she'd be a perfect – well, I had somebody else booked, and Kristen overrode me, and she was probably right. Tiffany, when I got Tiffany's email, I was like, oh, my God, why didn't I think of her just off the top of my head? She'd be a great – opening guest for the premiere of Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss, because there is nobody more high energy and better at just like breaking it down, peeling the onion away, and getting to the heart of the issue. And I think she's perfect for the holidays, and I'm happy to bring her on.
All right, so without further ado, then, let's welcome Tiffany Jamison Vanderluck to the premiere of Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss. Hey, Tiffany.
Yay, Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss.
I love you, Tiffany. You just crack me up.
I love you guys. Hello, 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 ladies. This is so cool. I love the premise and the mission and big old yay. I'm going to call it lip gloss, yay, Liberty, yay. I'll have to find it. Hashtag yay.
You should start a yay hashtag. That makes sense.
Well, you know, it's funny, Lisa, because every time I go, I post something, you know, it's either like epic yay or, if, you know, if someone is looking particularly hot, you know, I'm like, yay, hotness, hashtag hotness yay.
Hotness yay. I like that. That's good. That's
sexy
funny.
Yay, mama yay, baby yay. It's all yay, right? I mean, we only got one life, so we have to just make it just so filled with yay because we've all suffered enough, so. It's time to just smile.
So true. So you tell us what you're, you know, how do you, you didn't, I'm okay. Okay, so now that you're not living in the U.S., you're not dealing with Thanksgiving anymore. So I guess that's one less holiday to deal with family. But do you find, you're still obviously celebrating the next few holidays and the next couple. You know, do you find yourself, even where you are in the Netherlands, do you find yourself surrounded by some toxic people, some people that kind of suck the life out of you, you know, this time of year?
I think that's everywhere, right? Because, you know, we're energetic beings. And I think the people who are blessed enough to share space with your community, who are in your community, are particularly intuitive. And the more intuitive you are, the more perceptive you are, right? And the more energy you can pick up from other people and the more you're like, what's going on here, right? You can just feel it in your body. So, yeah, I don't think there's any particular place. My family is particularly toxic, but, you know, some people might have, you know, toxic workplace or something like that. It's interesting. Let me tell you, I'm dealing with the twin school right now. And it's like a really something that is really taking a toll on me because they think it's okay to have blackface. And I was like, seriously? Like they have this thing called Black Pete. And this is in a country where you're not allowed to call people black. But on this particular day or series of days, they have like a white Santa Claus or he's a saint. He's not a Santa Claus. He's called Saint. And then they have these people dressed up in blackface, like from the 20s, with afros and wigs and act a fool. And it's like Dutch tradition. Now, the UN has gotten involved because people are like, seriously, they're doing that over there? And the other day, I took my biracial babies over to school, and these children who are celebrating this holiday came out in blackface. Now, you can imagine my horror. I was like, like, seriously? And so I had to have a conversation with the teacher, and I really felt like her energy was just, like, not open to, like, this is not okay. If the rest of the world is saying it is not okay to be racist, like, how are you not understanding or showing compassion or whatever? So I just explained to her, you know, my children won't be attending this, you know, celebration this day. But it really took some energy for me to have this conversation again. You know, and that she was not open.
But
to
how
that.
Are they? But I said, how are they even allowing that? I mean, how is that? Why is that okay?
Well, you know, it's interesting because it's a tradition. Hundreds of years. It's just something that they do. If anybody wanted to Google, just Google Black Pete. It'll pop up on the first page of Google. I can assure you. I mean, the UK is involved. The United Nations is like, listen, Dutch government, you have to do something about this. This is not okay. Now, of course, they go, oh, this isn't about race. It's about tradition. Yeah, well, you know what? There were a lot of traditions, like women not being able to vote. That was a tradition, right?
Right.
Women not being able to inherit, black people not being able to vote. You know, all of those things are traditions, but that doesn't make them okay.
Right.
You know, sometimes you have to really take a hard look. And it's the same thing in our family dynamics, right? Like, if you look at that, there are a lot of things that we grew up with that people say, oh, well, you know, it's just family. You know, it's just how we do it here. That doesn't mean you have to roll over and accept it. I took a stand and said, my children will not be at school that day. I defy you to do anything about it. Because I would get on TV and tell my story of this racism.
Right. But you didn't have any pre-warning. They didn't send home anything saying, hey, this is what we're doing or this day or anything.
No, you know, it's really interesting because in this country, it's so ironic to me because if I walked up to you and let's say you were a woman of color and I said, and I called you a black bitch, black so-and-so, I would get a fine.
That's just fine.
Like, you're not allowed to refer to. Yeah, you were not allowed to refer to someone as a color and a name. Like, you can't call someone a black bee or, you know, but you can call them a bee but not a black bee because they're trying to do away with racism. But when it comes to this quote-unquote tradition, then it's okay. And the Dutch government is like, well, we don't know what to do about it because, you know, the Dutch people like it. But that's not necessarily true because this country has one of the highest percentage of minority people from all over the world, not just from, you know, Africa or whatever, of African descent, but they have one of the highest minority populations per square mile in the world. So you can't tell me that the majority of the Dutch people are okay with it. And they are some of the most outspoken people when they have racism against, like, soccer players and stuff in Russia and other countries that are really suffering. Then they're speaking out about it, but then they have this tradition. They didn't send out a note. They didn't send anything to me that said, hey, would you like your children? And, you know, for us as Americans, like, if we're having something that involves, you know, race or religion or something, we have to send something home. Like, if we're even allowed to do it, right, we have to send a note home and say, hey, okay, we're having a Christmas pageant. Will your child be participating? Or,
right.
You know, we're having Passover or, you know, whatever. But, yeah, no, they didn't send me anything. And I just – but I told them, like, my children would not be there. And, I mean, she was attempting to be open to it. And I get that if you're not a person of color, you don't understand how not okay that is. But what hurt me was when my daughter, who is more on the white side, let's say, like if you looked at her, you can't really tell like what she is ethnically. Like they're like racially ambiguous. She pointed out that mommy had brown skin, and that was the first time she ever said anything like that. Now, it's true, right, that my skin is brown, and that's okay, but I don't think that's a conversation for a four-year-old. That's not, you know, we don't talk about that at four.
Right, and it shouldn't matter. It shouldn't matter at 4 years old, especially. I mean, things that should matter at 4 years old are Sesame Street, Barney, chicken nuggets from McDonald's, you know. I mean,
right.
I mean, what
do you
need to do
bubble guppies, you know?
Yeah, she's got her whole life ahead of her to deal with racism.
Absolutely.
You know, it's not something
right,
she should have to
right,
be
right.
addressing at 4 years old.
Yeah. So that's something a little bit toxic, right? And it really was affecting my mood. You know, I have to say, I had to really some clearing. And remember that, you know, their ignorance is not about me, and I can't take that on. You know, I can't take that on. I can remove my children from that situation, and they just won't go to school for those, you know, few days or whatever. And, yeah. But it was really, like, shocking. You know, if you go into the grocery store and you see these black faces, that would never be – I mean, it's so clearly – you. I'm telling you, Lisa, you would be horrified. Daria, you would be like, oh, my – did I just see that? Like, you know, it's one of those kind of moments where you, like, in your all of your insides just hurt because you're like, how can you guys think this is okay? You know, and they say, oh, well, it's about the chimney. The chimney is the reason why he's brown now. We tell them that it doesn't have to deal with slavery or whatever. And I go, well, you know what? If you have to explain it, then you probably should leave it alone. If you have to explain, oh, well, this isn't slave, it's about this. Okay, well, then leave it, and then you don't have to explain. Why not just make it just a regular piece? Why can't it just be another white guy? Why put on the blackface? Why put on the afro? If it's not race, I've never seen white folks walk in an afro. Well, yeah, maybe some back in the maybe some at an afro. But, you know, we know what that represents, you know. So that's something. But always remember, you know, when you're encountering that kind of yuckiness,
you just, you can't take that on, and it's so easy to take that on, you know, and allow that to affect your energy, and that's not about me. Their ignorance is not about me. All I can do is bring light to it and stand in that power and make a choice that feels light for me and my family. And it's the same in your families. I know you guys are like, whoa.
No.
It's okay, lady.
I'm truly stunned. I'm actually stunned because I just can't believe that. I mean, that is not something that you'd get away with here. I mean, you wouldn't get away with it. So to me, I'm just stunned that there are. This is freaking the Netherlands here. We're not talking about.
Yeah.
It's like this is a major contributor to the world
right.
here. We're not talking
right.
about some
right.
third
we have
world country.
Right, we have Den Haag here. Right.
I'm actually just stunned, and the fact that they don't bother to notify you and let you have the option to keep your kids
right.
at home, so that you're not forced to have that uncomfortable conversation, you know, with your
mm-hmm.
child, which you were forced to do, you know that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't.
In two
really
languages.
Like that. Yeah.
I
right.
had to explain it in two languages.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, I have to explain that in two languages, you know, and they don't even, and we've never had the conversation. So after she pointed out that mommy was different, I was like, oh, good Lord, you know, and she's different from mommy. I'm like, oh, God, you know. Yeah, and of course you want your children to have a sense of identity, but at 4 years old, they're just not there yet. They're not, you know, where, like, I'm different from mommy and it's okay. It's like, I'm different from mommy. You know, why is she like the slave character and dad is like the one riding the white horse? You know, like what's up with that? And where do I fit into all of that? You know, so I asked her, you know, what color are you? Like, what is your? And she said, I'm this, you know, I'm white. I said, okay. And what color is Spring? You know, that's the baby. And she said, Spring is white. And what color is Stryker? And she's like, because Stryker has a little more color to him, but he's not brown. And she's like, Stryker is Vic Klambekia, which is like a little bit white, you know. So I'm just like, oh, my God. You know, not now. You know, that's a conversation for later, you know. But, yeah, so, I mean, really just be mindful of don't let things like that, because we're going to always, as women, as powerful women who want to stand in our power and our freedom, you will encounter people who just for, you know, tradition have decided that you can't have, do, be, exist in a way that supports you. And you have to just stand in your own, you know, truth and make a choice and go, you know.
Yeah.
Are your kids like, oh, that's a little sad, huh?
Are your kids twins?
Yeah. The Spring and Stryker are four. They just turned four in October, and Spring is the baby bringing up the rear at two.
Are they looking forward to Christmas?
They, you know, they really don't have a concept of Christmas, like, you know, they get a tree and they get gifts, but they just, you know, you know, it's the one night they get to stay up. Like, that's all they really know. They're four. So, thankfully, they don't really have, like, attachment. I think that's one of the benefits of living someplace else is, like, if I were in the States, they would have, like, you know, the cookies and the tree, you know, because we have our own stuff that we do in America, right? And, you know, the puppet shows and the TV shows and everything else. But here, they don't really have that because, you know, we don't participate in how it's really celebrating with the whole Black Pete thing. And then, you know, with regular Christmas, yeah, we don't really have those kind of traditions. Here, we just stay up all night, they open their gifts, and, you know, 3 days later, the gifts are all broken, and it's just like business as usual, you know? So they don't really have an attachment to wanting stuff. They don't really watch commercials and stuff, so it's not like they go, oh, I want that, you know? They're content, like, with some books and playing with each other. I guess each other's the toy, thankfully. So
how long have you been there?
I've lived here since 2009. We came here, like, I don't know how much you
oh, you listen to the other show, so you know about me losing those babies. So after we lost those babies, we just, you know, I sold everything. I, you know, gave my clients away. Like, I didn't even sell my practice. In hindsight, that was stupid. But I didn't have any wealth consciousness at the time. And so I should have sold my practice, right? But I literally just gave my clients away. So money tip, you know, be more aware of your money. And we sold everything, and then we moved here. And 2 weeks later, I was pregnant with the twins, you know, after getting away from my family. And my family is like, oh, God, so bootleg. And,
I know.
And, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's my daughter asking you those last couple questions. She's sitting here, and now she's saying, yeah, my family's like that, too. And I'm smacking her. I'm like, no, your family's perfect.
Well, you're all, you know what? You have a mom that loves you, and that is really a blessing. And, you know, we do the best we can with what we have. And, yeah, for the most part, most of us, you know, we screw up a lot, but it ain't because we don't love you. You know, we're just trying to navigate our own crap, you know. My mom,
I can't wait until Kristen has kids, and she says she's not having kids, and if she does, she's adopting them from some other country because she doesn't want to actually ever have to get married. She's on a man-hating binge right now, and she has good reason for it. I really don't blame her. But
not a man-hating binge. It's just
how old is she? She's 19. She's our third. She's the third co-host on our show. Yeah, she's 19.
Oh,
she's just dated some losers. You know, who doesn't by 19? I mean, she dated some real losers.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that.
Just putting all your business in the street. Well, what do you think that you're attracting those kind of people? Because I'm just curious. Like, when you get into these relationships, like, what's coming up for you that you're like, you know, I'm gonna date you?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not quite sure what it is.
Do you
think
like the eyebrow piercing? Do you like the eyebrows pierced?
No, that was only one. It was only one of them.
Only one of them.
Okay,
so how about this? So you meet a guy, right? You meet a guy, and you see him, and you're attracted to him, whatever attractive looks like for you, right? Because we all have different tastes. So you're attracted to him, and he's attracted to you. And then what's the first thing that comes to mind for you?
I'm not quite sure, actually.
No, come on. What's the first thing when you see a hot guy? What's the first thing that you think of? Like, are you
Where's
thinking,
your girlfriend?
Really? Like, you're hot? What are you doing without a girl on your arm? Oh, okay.
That's interesting that she would say that, right? That you would say that because you're the third host, I can talk to you directly. Because that's like an energy, right? So immediately you think, okay, if you're an attractive guy, then you must be taken, right? That's a limitation. Because we don't know that. So then you're already building a block, right?
No, see, and that's right, because she's a beautiful girl, and I tell her all the time that I bet you every guy she runs across thinks she's taken. You know, so I think you're right.
Of course they do.
Your picture is on the website, Kristen. People know how pretty you are, okay?
Oh, my God.
but
you drag her to the show kicking and screaming? The poor girl.
Tiffany, it's been about a month and a half of kicking and screaming. So, yeah. I'm just trying to get, I'm like, you know, this radio thing is actually fun. You're going to like it, I promise. We need somebody to represent the youth of America.
Right,
that's funny.
Poor thing.
I think she's calling me old.
Oh,
Sari, did you fall asleep?
No, I'm still here. I'm just listening.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, like, how, especially, like, with young people. Like, what would happen? What is it? Is it Kristen or Carson? Can you tell me?
Kristen.
Because I can't hear
it's
good.
It's Kristen.
Kristen. Oh, Kristen. Okay. So, Kristen, what would happen if you lost your ability to judge yourself? Like, at 19... what would happen if you never, ever judged yourself again? How do you think your life would be different?
I would be completely different. I mean, I would probably be much happier.
Mm-hmm.
So why do you judge yourself? Like, what are, if you don't mind, I don't know how much you want to put out in the streets, but, like, tell me, like, two of your top judgments that you have about yourself.
Probably just, like, looks in general, and my social awkwardness is definitely on the top two list.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm socially awkward, too, so, like, I...
You are
like, I
so not socially awkward. You are not socially awkward, Tiffany. And Kristen, one of the reasons I'm dragged her kicking and screaming to do this radio show is because I'm trying to help her get through her social awkwardness. she'll be a blabbermouth like me in no time.
Yeah, well, you know, I think also, like, when you have a parent who's very open, you know, there's a tendency to defer to that and, like, okay, well, my mom's very open. See, like, the things that we judge, right, creates, like, a separation between us and the things that we desire, right? We talked about that before. So if you're judging something, even if you're judging it good, then it creates a separation from you having it. So, like, for Kristen, like, if she judges, like, well, this is the standard of beauty, obviously, and I don't look like that, then I can never attain that. Therefore, I am not, you know, that beautiful, whatever. And it impacts, like, our self-esteem. But what if you lost the judgment? So, like, if you were on a deserted island, would you go, oh, my God, Kristen, like, you're all alone, like in Castaway, right? And you're all alone on that island. Are you going to go, oh, my God, Kristen, you are so fat. Like, you're so not hot. You're so – you wouldn't say any of that stuff, right? Because it's just you. See, judgment is an outside job. It has nothing to do with you. Do you see that? Like, it has nothing to do with you. You're making it yours, but it has nothing to do with you. Do you understand? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great point. And she is very hard on herself. I get so upset with her for that. She's very hard on herself. And she's, you have to, if you lived with this child, you would understand. I mean, she's 19 years old, and she is literally kicking ass everywhere she goes. She's working a practically a full-time job, going to college full-time. She lives at home, but she's paying all her own. She never asked
she should
us
live
for
alone.
A dime. Never asked us mm-hmm. for a dime. She's doing so,
aww.
So well. And, you know, and I'm just, like, looking at her, like, what do you have negative to say about yourself? But she finds it. But I think, do you feel like we all do that a little bit? Like, don't you think that when we look in the mirror, we see every single fault, the things that other people don't
sure.
see? Like, other people aren't going to notice that pimple on the side of your face, but you're, like, you feel like it's, like, a flashing sign.
You know, we definitely, and of course women are the worst, right? We really, you know, go in. You know, I think what happens is, like, we judge ourselves thinking that we can judge ourselves into change or that there's something wrong with us. But you know that wonderful Dr. Robert Anthony quote is, like, anytime you try to improve yourself, the whole idea of self-improvement says that something is wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. Yeah, but we come from a space of there is something wrong, and if we judge it long enough and hard enough and with enough vigor and you know, and zest, that magically it will get us to change. But what the opposite happens, you know, and that kind of change doesn't last, because, like, you just get so defeated that you just want to stop trying. That's how, like, when people who are really, really obese and they gain the weight back and they're like, yeah, but you had the surgery, you did this, you did that. You know, because they were judging, okay, my fat and I'm wrong because I'm fat, instead of looking at, okay, this is extra weight. What emotional stuff am I carrying as a result of this weight? And what if I just release the emotional stuff, then you would release the weight. See? But we do the opposite. We always make ourselves wrong, and then we look in the mirror and go, oh, my God. Like, you know, I always talk about my teeth, you know, because I have a really big smile. And, you know, part of that is because I have a lot of teeth.
Right.
And,
well,
you know,
we were just talking about the
buck teeth.
Jerry and I were just talking about your pictures. We were on your website earlier tonight, and we were mm-hmm. talking about your pictures and what a beautiful smile you have.
Oh, thank you.
Jerry's like, look at that beautiful smile. I'm like, and I don't think she ever stops smiling. I mean, do you smile while you're sleeping?
I've been told I do. Yeah, yeah, I. I wouldn't know, but I've been told that I do smile. You know, yeah, I do smile a lot. But, you know, it releases endorphins, you know.
It
so,
does.
Like, if you ever need, like, a quick little pick-me-up, then that's why, like, I say, yay me. And then I smile, you know, to give me, like, literally that physiological shift. You know, like, because when you're really intuitive and you're picking up everybody's energy all the time, you could really get sucked down into a hole. So the best way to do that is to find, like, little tricks and tips and things, you know, to be able to manage your own energy. And that's one of the things I tell, you know, that I share with people is, like, say yay me, you know, say yay me, and, you know, like, and mean it, like, embody that. And it will make, and then just saying yay makes you smile, right? It's just one of those words. Like, woohoo!
I do that too. There are ways that I deal with what I call energy vampires. And you and I talked about this when you were on my show before. Energy vampires, you know, like there are some of them that you have to be around because they're your family and you just can't really get rid of them without upsetting a lot of your other family. Kristen, don't say a word. I am not an energy vampire. So if you could see the violence with the pen going on right now, if you were here, you would, you know, this should definitely be videotaped. Anyway. You know, you have that, you have those people, and I find myself thinking, okay, this person is going to be negative. They're going to be completely draining me all day long. So I'm going to use, every time they say something negative, I'm going to think of some funny word that makes me laugh, or some funny, I'm going to think of a joke, or I'm going to think of something that makes me laugh. And everybody in the family is going to think I'm losing my mind, and they're going to want to put me in a sanitarium, and that's fine too, because then I get a vacation, which is cool. I don't care. It's the way I deal with these people. I sit there and I'm just like, you know, just silly things. Okay, every time somebody says something negative, I'm going to take a sip of wine. Well, in my family, if I did that, I'd be drunk by, like, before dinner. You know what I mean? We wouldn't be able to make it through dinner. But that's how I feel, you know. And I think everybody has their ways of dealing with this kind of stuff. What I want to do, Tiffany, is I want to ask you. You wrote a great book called The Radical Self Expert: The Fastest, Simplest 7-Step Method to Discover How to Be Your True Self, Change Your Life Now, and Be Happy Today the Easy Way. And I want to ask you some questions about that after we take a short break. If you don't mind holding on, I'm going to just put us on a short break. And we'll be right back with some more of Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss.
Good friend and a glass of wine.
Monday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the Right Stream Radio Network. Tune in to Military Monday with host John D. Gresham, author, military historian, and journalist. John delves into a unique aspect of U.S. military history, as well as current events and issues affecting our men and women in uniform. Featuring exceptional guests, military experts, and authors, Military Monday with John D. Gresham entertains, informs, and encourages listeners to support those who put it all on the line for freedom. Military Monday with John D. Gresham. Monday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the Right Stream Radio Network.
In a moment, cancer changed our lives forever.
We were told nothing could be done to enjoy these final moments together.
But in that moment, when all seemed lost,
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital gave us hope.
Because at this moment, St. Jude Children's Research Hospital is saving lives with pioneering research and care. We're changing the way the world treats childhood cancer by sharing our discoveries with doctors and scientists everywhere.
And we'll never have to pay St. Jude for anything, ever.
At this moment, she wants to be in her own bed.
I want to be back at school with my friends.
I want to be outside playing.
Please take a moment and join St. Jude in finding cures and saving children. Visit stjude.org.
Sunday evenings at 7 o'clock Eastern, tune in to Right Stream Radio Network for Just Believe with author and metaphysician Lisa Tarvis. Lisa interviews experts in the areas of health and wellness, alternative healing, paranormal phenomena, intuitive guidance, and positive living. With her own inimitable down-to-earth style, Lisa makes both guests and callers welcome and appreciated. Just Believe with Lisa Tarvis, Sunday evenings at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 Central, here on the Right Stream Radio Network.
Okay, that was Just Believe singer. Hold on, let me push the right button.
Don't you know that every girl needs a girlfriend and a glass of wine?
There we go. That was the right singer.
I love
Sorry.
That.
I know. I love that song. And when we were talking about like, you know, an opening song, and that's Leanne Rimes, by the way. Anybody who doesn't know that song, is A Good Friend and a Glass of Wine by Leanne Rimes, and it's on her family, her album called Family, and it's an awesome album. I'm a big fan of Leanne Rimes, and seen her in concert, kind of stalker, just a little bit. Green pancake, a little bit.
I shouldn't say that on her. Probably get arrested.
I'm not like hurting stalking. I'm on the East Coast. She's on the West Coast. Come on, can't really hurt her. I wouldn't hurt her. I love her. She lives in L.A.
Do you know her address?
No, I don't know her address. Okay. Anyway, I just wanted to give the credit to Leanne Rimes for that song, and it's A Good Friend and a Glass of Wine, and it talks about what we're trying to do, what we're trying to be about with Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss. We're trying to have a girls' night out, Friday night. Come spend from 7 to 9 with us, or 7 to however long we go with us, and grab a glass of wine, grab a cup of tea, whatever you want to have, and come sit down and let's talk some girl talk. And I want to invite all of our listeners to call in and give us their comments, either about the show or about our topics. Even though we're all over the place, it's like Schizoville tonight. It's a little crazy. That's actually any show I do, or I think that's my fault pretty much. But please call in, and we will definitely get you on the air. The call-in number is 347-945-7246. Again, that's 347-945-7246. If you have a question for Kristen or Daria or myself or, of course, Tiffany, our beautiful guest tonight and the author of this very long book, this very long title book. I got to take a deep breath. The Radical Self-Expert. The fastest, simplest 7-step method to discover how to be your true self, change your life now, and be happy today the easy way. Tell me why. Let's talk about this book a little bit. You call yourself a self-expert, and believe me, I believe you that you are a self-expert. You're awesome. You really are. But
you
talk about in your book that it's going to save you, you know, time. It's going to save you energy.
Right.
It's going to save you, you know, money. How is that possible?
Well, you know, a lot of the angst that we feel, for those of you who knew, because I just posted some stuff on Twitter, a lot of the angst that we feel comes from us not being the fullest expression of who we be, right? We take on other people's stuff, and we take on people's habits, and we take on stuff that we were raised with, or we resist and react to something we grew up with, but we're never actually just being the energy of who we be, right? Who we be separate and apart from all the other stuff. So if you are acting in alignment with your truth, then you don't give money to people because you feel guilty, because you have no guilt, right? You don't hire the guru because someone said that was a good guru, even though your mind was like, you know what, I'm not feeling that person, right? So you don't spend that money. You don't go down this rabbit hole of
You know, you don't go to medical school when you don't want to be a doctor, really, but your parents tell you to, see? So it's like you save yourself all of this time and energy and resources actually just doing what is most aligned with who you be rather than trying to do all this other stuff. And that comes from your true self. Like, you know everything. It was really interesting to have Kristen on because, you know, she's a young person and we were all young once. And, you know, how she's like, I don't know. But you do know, you know. And when we say, I don't know, it's like we're giving away our power because if you don't know, no one else on the planet knows because no one knows what you know. And a part of being a self-expert is to know what you know and to know that you know what is right for you. Now, certainly you might not know the how. That's a separate issue. And you don't even need to know how because who cares how as long as you get the end result, right? As long as you get the thing that you wanted in the end. I didn't know how I was going to go from losing 5 babies to having 3 healthy ones. I didn't know how that was going to work. And frankly, I didn't care. As long as I, at the end of the day, had those babies, you know, healthy and happy and whatever, like that's all that mattered to me. And if you focus on the end result, the how will show up based upon what is true for you.
So, like, for someone like Kristen, who is, she's still, oh, stop, just deal. She's got smacked in the arm
she's
like twice by
me.
Because I keep telling her, this is you. She does. She says, I don't know. Do you feel like somebody who's in college, and she's doing all the right things, she's on the dean's list, she's making great grades, she's doing everything perfectly, you know, doing great, but she still doesn't know exactly what direction she wants to go with her life. Do you think that negative self-talk she gives herself, which I yell at her about all the time, that negative, like, you know, self-talk, I don't know, is keeping her from finding out what really she maybe does know inside?
Absolutely. And I think on some level, because she is 19 and she does have a strong mother, and, you know, she's in the house, and it's not about you. This is just about her own experiences, right? So it's like maybe, you know, she has a lot of, I call them angles, around what it would mean if she actually knew, like if she allowed herself to know. So I would ask you, Kristen, what is it that you know that you're denying that you know, that if you allowed yourself to know it, it would change everything in your life? Just kind of sit with that. Because you know. Maybe you don't want to say, maybe you think there'll be ramifications, maybe there's value in not knowing because then you feel like, okay, well, if I know, then I have to do something about it. Or if I know, what if I fail? If I know, like, there's other stuff going on, but no one else can tell you what is true for you but you. That's something only you know, and you've known since birth.
Well, my thing is I can't just let myself decide something that's so, I guess, final. Like just
why do you think
it's
final, sweetie? It's not final because here's the thing. You get to choose. Like today, like, you know, I was once a lawyer, right? I mean, I'm still licensed to practice law. I don't anymore. But you get to choose. Like you don't have to go, okay, see, this drives me nuts, you know. And I know that many people believe in purpose. And I think that's great for some people if it works for you. Because remember, I say if it works for you, yay, right? But here's something that happens for creatives. Creative people like many things. We have many talents. We are multi-purpose. And as human beings, we are multi-purpose, right? It's just who we be in the world. Oprah has a talk show, but she's also a CEO of a business. She also acts. She also, do you see, like you can be all of those things. You don't have to choose. Be all things and allow yourself to receive all of those things and engage all those parts of yourself. Every time you stop being one of the things that it is in you to be, that's when you get to, I don't know. Because she just said, it's going to be final. It's not final.
I think that's a great, great, great point because I think we're all so attached to labels. You know, we all need labels for everything. And I'm a hater of labels. I'm a label hater. I hate labels. I think that we want to lump ourselves. We need a title.
You know, we need some sort of, we need some kind of, okay, this is what I am. And for me, I'm like certified in so many friggin' things. If I went everything. Yes, I'm actually a minister too. I am. Yeah, sure. Anyway.
Lisa.
Yeah. Reverend Lisa. I thought about all those things, and Gary is in the same boat because Gary does so many different things. And, you know, I mean, it's all in the same realm of what we are doing. You know, it's all in the same. With me, it's holistic health. With Daria, it's writing. But we find ourselves needing to put this label on everything. And I think that might be what Kristen's doing. She's feeling like, well, I need to go this route, you know. And sometimes I think this stuff just opens up for us the way it's supposed to.
Right.
Yeah, but you can't.
If you just allow yourself to receive. You know, just
right.
receive the energy. Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, Kristen. Okay, so if you have to pick one thing, just one thing, because, okay. So I say, Kristen, I want you to pick one thing for the rest of your life to do. Like, does that feel heavy for you or does that feel light for you?
No, that's pretty heavy. I mean, that seems to be what everyone is expecting. I mean.
Right. But that's not true for you. Do you see that? Like, if it feels heavy for you, that's not true for you. So if I said, Kristen, right now you don't have to choose. You can be all things. You can be a writer and, you know, a teacher or, you know, play music, you know. You can be all of those things. Does that feel heavy or light for you?
A little lighter, I guess. I mean.
Yeah, a little lighter.
What if somebody's issue, not saying it's Kristen, it is Kristen, but not saying it's Kristen. What if somebody doesn't have enough confidence in their abilities, in their talent, and doesn't see themselves the way other people see them?
Or if they have no abilities.
See? Exactly. This is what I'm talking about.
She sounds like me. Aww.
You, but seriously, you know, other people can see them. She's been told, and it's not just her mommy. Obviously, I'm a little biased, but it's not just me. What if it's something that she is just, because she finds a way to make everything, and you do, honey, I love you, but you do, she finds a way to make everything negative. She finds a negative spin to put on almost everything. So how does somebody get their self out of that? What's the self-talk you use when you find yourself doing that to kind of turn that around?
Oh, that's a great one. Okay, first of all, let me say that it is absolutely possible to be addicted to negativity. And it sounds like that might be happening. And, like, physiologically, they found that you can be addicted to negative thoughts and behaviors and thinking. So there's a little bit of a reprieve for you, Kristen. You know, there's a part of you that's physiologically addicted to the sensation of being negative. Okay? So kind of have that in mind.
I want to be something.
She doesn't want to be negative, but she doesn't know how to.
No.
I think it comes down to, and this is just my point of view for her, and she can, and I'm sure she will respond and with her own opinion. But I kind of feel like she is more afraid to embrace any abilities that she has, any talent that she has. Like it's there. It's there, but maybe she's either intimidated by it, intimidated by what it means, or maybe she just doesn't see it the way other people do. You know, it's the same thing about that pimple on the side of your face that I talked about before.
You're
comparing me to a pimple now. I'm not comparing you to a pimple, but I'm saying that you look in the mirror and you see this pimple as some gigantic thing where other people aren't even going to notice it. Well, what if you're doing that with your own talent? What if you're not realizing the greatness that you have within you and other people do? But if it's only your mom and your dad and your siblings or, well, not your siblings, but somebody else's siblings telling them great stuff about them, what if it's only those people? I mean, could that be part of it? I mean, I know that's a little weird, Tiffany, but what I'm looking at is, from knowing her so well and seeing that she has these talents that she...
What talents?
Oh, my goodness. She just doesn't accept them. She doesn't... And, you know, here's the deal. I don't want to make this all about me, but let's for a second. when I was a teenager, we had, like, you know, all these pageants in my area and stuff like that. And the pageants were things that all the, like, big groups, like those big, I don't know what they're called, those groups, like key whatever group, I don't know, groups. And they were always wanting to, they wanted to sponsor me to run for all these pageants. I was, well, I was pretty, I was. And I was very tall and thin, and it just, you know, it was, and I could sing back then.
Obviously, that's gone away a little bit,
but I could sing. So they were always, I was in chorus, and I always had solos and all that kind of stuff. They were always doing it, and I always talked myself out of it. You know, they would come, they would meet with my parents, encourage her to do this, we want her to do this, and I'd be like, no way, I'm not doing it. You know, I'm not, and now I look back and I'm like, wow, what a stupid ass. You know, I should have done it. Why didn't I do it? But I was afraid. I was afraid. I was afraid to get out there. I was afraid to put myself out there. I was afraid of rejection. How much does rejection play in this?
Oh, my goodness. I don't actually believe that fear exists, but, you know, that's huge, this idea. But, see, all of those things are outside jobs, right? The fear of being rejected is an outside job. It really has, first, fear doesn't exist, but the idea that you can be rejected by someone, consider this, Christy. Like, if someone, remember this, like, as you go through your day and you're making decisions about the things that you choose for your life, right? Okay, consider this, that everything is the opposite of what it appears to be. So if you look at people and they're walking around and they're saying things about you, right, or you're worried about them saying things about you, really what they're saying are the things that they have about themselves, see? But they're projecting that onto you because the more that you stand in what is true for you, the more stuff that comes up for them. Because they're not being that true. So they have to make you wrong to make their yuck go away. So if you feel like they are rejecting you, what they are doing is actually rejecting themselves. And they're actually saying yay for you because you are the energy that they actually want to be. Do you understand?
Yeah.
So when someone comes after you, and they want you to be, and they have something to say about you, here's what I want you to say to them. I want you to look at them in the face and say, isn't that interesting that you have that particular view of me? I can be miserable for you if I choose that. Do you want me to be miserable for you right now so that you can feel better?
Yeah.
And allow them to sit with that. Because then they're like, okay, wait. Okay, wait a minute. Damn, right? It's like one of those moments like, huh. Because what you want to do is to be clear with them, I am not taking on your energy. Now, I am all things, right? Because you are. You are all things. And you get to choose from all of the possibilities. You get to choose which one you're going to be in that moment. And you say to them, I can choose to be less than who I am for you if that's what you need. But be clear, that's what you're asking for because I'm not going to be less for me. I don't choose that. And allow them to tell you why they want you to be less than who you are so that they can feel better. Make them give you an explanation. I can be a bitch for you right now if I choose it. Do you need me to be a bitch for you? Why do you need me to be a bitch for you? And what would that look like for you?
Yeah.
It stops them dead in their tracks.
Yeah, I bet it does.
In your book, you talk about how 90% of your thoughts each day are not our own. What do you mean by that?
Well, particularly for people who are in your community and you know, that would listen to this show, you're intuitive, right? And everything is energy, like scientifically, not like Tiffany made it up, not Lisa made it up, but like literally everything is energy, right? Like Einstein said that, right? So what happens is, how does energy move, right? Through vibration, right? Or frequencies. And so every day we're picking up on different vibrations and different, and emotions are just energy in motion. And so what we're able to do is pick up other people's
suck, other people's energy, but we don't question it. We get some energy, and then we believe it automatically because we're thinking it must be ours. But that's not true. Yeah. Just because you think it doesn't make it true, and it doesn't make it yours. Because you didn't come into the world with that energy. You didn't come into the world with limitations. Babies have no limitations. They don't think, oh, my God, what's going to happen if I fall, my mom's going to hit. You know, that's something that they learn. That's something that we get after them. Oh, well, you didn't do this right, Johnny, so now you're going to be punished. They go, oh, okay, if I do this wrong, I'm punished. That's stuff that we put on them. But they're not born with that, right? So you have to think like, okay, we're picking up on everybody's energy. Have you ever walked into a room and immediately you're like, ooh. Like, you don't know what it is. You've never been there before, but you just like, something weird happened here. Right? Like, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know about y'all, right? Or you've been walking somewhere, and nobody's around, but you just have this feeling like, I need to clutch my purse a little tighter. You know, you don't know why, but then later on you find out, well, so-and-so was killed in that alley, and you're like, what the hell? I was just over there, right? Because, we're able to pick up other people's thoughts. We're able to pick up. We're like psychics. We're like little energetic SpongeBob picking up on other people's stuff. And when we pick up on other people's stuff, we just automatically go, okay, it's in my brain. It must be mine. You know, we don't stop for a second and go, where the hell did that come from? Like, why am I thinking that? Where'd that come from? Who says that? You're driving along the street, cold chilling, rocking your Van Halen. Yes, I like Van Halen, particularly with Sammy Hagar. Okay, so all you did was
That's my favorite Van Halen.
See?
Oh, my God. See? Nobody agrees with me. Nobody agrees with me. It's just me.
They like David?
I was alone in the world. I was alone in the world till I talked to you about this tonight. Yes. Van Halen, the best with Sammy Hagar.
Yes, with Sammy Hagar. Yes. Thank you very much. So, like, you're rolling and you're rocking your higher, right? You're, like, rocking it out. And then all of a sudden you're like, man, you just feel like this sadness come over you. And you're like, what in the, you know, and you just get sadder and sadder. And instead of you stopping for a second and going, okay, well, I was fine like 5 seconds ago, and now I feel sad. What do? Oh, I must be sad. So then we put on some sad music. Right? So now we make ourselves sadder and sadder, and then we start thinking about everything that ever went wrong. So then we got to call someone and talk about it. Now we're feeding the sadness, right? We're feeding that energy of yuck. But it wasn't even ours to begin with. What if we stopped, like, as soon as that thought came in and went, whose is that? Like, where does that come from? Just asking that question creates, like, a little bit of gap between you and what you're thinking so that you can get some perspective and then go, okay, whose voice is that, right? Because a lot of times it's not even in your voice.
Don't you think, though, that sometimes it's even us, like, okay, say we're depressed. Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I've lectured Kristen a few times about, like, when she was going through a boy breakup or, you know, some kind of thing in her teenagehood, a breakup, whatever. When she was a teenager, and she'd be listening to all this pathetically sad music. And I was like, Kristen, why don't you put on something happy, something high energy, something that makes you feel better, not makes it worse, you know? And
it's just something you want to relate to. I don't think you're trying to make yourself feel better. It's relating to something.
Oh, no.
Okay, so we sort of glazed over when I said people are addicted to negativity. So check this out, okay? When you put on that sad music, you feel something, right? It's not like you put on the sad music and you feel nothing. Something physiologically happens in your body, right? And so, like, it feeds those beta endorphins. You get a rush. You feel like that pang in your stomach, or you feel connected to that guy, you know, again, or, you know, you start longing for the times that you have, like, why did this, you see, that's all emotion. You're connected to that, and it feeds you physiologically, it feeds you psychologically, it feeds you. You're addicted to it. That's what I want people to get. Like, you can absolutely be addicted to that feeling. And it's not like you're wrong or bad. It's just something that we do. You know, we want to feel something. And since we feel disconnected, right, the relationship broke down, so, and we have a story about it, right, so we feel disconnected for that person. So what do? We want to feel connected. Okay, we need something. Got to fill the space. I will feed it with this drug called negativity. Let me put on some sad music and remember all of the things we ever did together that were, you know, so great and fabulous, and, oh, why is this happening to me again? Oh, my God. Okay, so now you get attention. So the sadder you get, the more attention you get, right? The more negative you get, the more attention you get. Think about Facebook. If you post something positive, you might get like one or two likes. Oh, yeah, girl, I love that quote. Woohoo, yeah, be positive. You put on there, I hate this effing girl. How many people comment then?
That is so true. That is
why
so
I don't
true.
Go on
okay?
Facebook.
Yeah, Kristen won't have anything to do with Facebook. She's on Twitter, but she wants nothing to do with Facebook.
I don't like it at all.
She doesn't like. She's like, she just can't deal with the drama. And I have three Facebook accounts. That's so for me.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's all drama all the time. And it, you know, I mean, one's my book Facebook page, one's my business Facebook page, and there's my personal Facebook page.
Right.
I stay off on my personal one, though. I really do, because it's
no,
the constant.
No, you do not.
No, you think I don't,
ooh,
because I
called you
to
out.
To schedule stuff ahead of time. Suppose I post happy quotes.
Yeah.
This is not true. I can go on right now and read all the sappy stuff you put on there.
She's about to tell your business. Put it in the. She's gonna have screenshots.
Yeah, fine. You know, whatever. But there's all. You know, I'm not.
Think about that.
It's true. It's a really good point because that's very, very true. I'm always surprised when I put on a happy quote or something because most of my things, even on my personal page, are quotes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll put
a
quote on, and you have, like, it's a happy quote. You have maybe two people like it or something. If I put on, like, that I'm pissed off at my husband or something like that, you know, I get, like, 500 responses. You know, that's so, so true. People just love when you're...
Right? It feeds you. Like, okay, so physiologically you're pissed, right? And think about, like, how they found, like, think about with your anger. This is how you know physiologically it's addictive, right? When you're angry or when you're upset, then something physically happens to you. You clench your jaw. You tighten your fist. Like, that's because hormonally something is happening to you, right? And you can actually get addicted to that. Now, when back in the caveman days, it made total sense. You needed to get angry to protect yourself, right, so that you can get back to where you needed to be, where it was going to be safe, right? Like if the lion was coming after your ass, you had to be, you know, a little bit of badass, right? So you have to, you know, but you know, we've evolved in a lot of ways, but in a lot of ways we haven't, right? That's still a basic human response. Our anatomy is the same. Our physiologically is the same. So when physiologically we are the same. So when things happen and we get upset physically, we're like, oh, right? We get that tightness, right? So now the endorphins go, oh, click, release, right? So then we have stuff going on and we're getting angry. We're sharing with people. You know, now we're getting attention for our anger. So now in our minds, because we're all like just basically kids, right? Now we're attaching negativity with attention. Right? Or sadness with attention or upset with attention. We're connecting the two physiologically. In our brain, just like a heroin, I don't want to equate it to this because that's much more serious, but you know, just like a heroin equates, you know, the drug with feeling good. Right? Well, I feel good when I take the heroin. Even though we know that that's not really true. Like you don't feel good because when you come off that crap, you're messed up. Right? But physiologically, we can become addicted, and then we become psychologically addicted, and then people feed our addiction with, you know, the attention, and we're like, oh, right? So we get that fix of negativity. And it's not, I'm not saying we consciously go, oh, I want some attention, so I'm going to be negative. But we know that if we're upset, we get a lot more stuff being upset than we do when we're happy.
Right.
And that's a fact. These kids around here, when they want something, what do? They don't go, ha, 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 mommy, I'm so happy. I'm so happy you said no to giving me that cookie. They're like, mommy, I'm dying. I need a cookie. Oh, my God, mama. You know, and you have not lived until you had three under four yelling at you for a damn cookie.
Oh,
you know.
God.
And yeah. No more cookies. It's up. You know, I'm telling. It's up. It's up. Blah, blah, blah. I want a cookie.
because they know I will give it to them, right? So if, or if they put their little heads down and walk away like on the cartoon characters, oh, mama. You're like, okay, baby. So they learn very early on attention, sadness, negativity. I mean, you know, that those things are connected. Isn't that wild?
Yeah. It really is. It's really crazy, but you're right. I mean, my daughter Kristen and her brother Nick are 10 and a half months apart. So, yeah, you don't even ask. And you don't plan that,
you
by
have
the
twins.
Way. Not planned, yeah. It was like twins, only now they're 19 and 20 and I can deal with it a little better. But, you know, it was actually ended up being a really good thing. They really are very close, and they stayed close. And Kristen could translate. Nicholas had a speech problem, and Kristen would be like, "Mom, you can't understand him." 4 years old, I'd be like, "I have no idea what you're saying to me, Nick." She's like, "Mom, he's saying," and they
funny.
Have to. It's so weird.
That's my Bliss and Stryker. That's how my
really?
Bliss and Stryker are. Well, Bliss is older, and she's definitely more mature. And Stryker got really sick, and so he had a little bit of a speech problem, and. So Bliss really, you know, she really mothers him, and she looks after him and, you know, tells me, like, I'm like, Bliss, what did he say? You know, and she'll tell me, you know, in slow Dutch because I don't speak Dutch, or she'll try and, you know, not try, she'll tell me in English if I don't understand. If I don't understand what she's saying. Like, what? Say it in English so I can understand.
Yeah, my kids were all speaking, they were both speaking English, but I still didn't have any idea what that was, child. What are your kids' names? Kristen's trying to figure out your kids' names.
Oh, okay. So it's Bliss, Indigo, Haven, Spring, Azure, Oasis, and Stryker, Bravery, Frederick.
Oh,
Frederick, because that's just on there. Yeah.
Those are awesome.
Well,
awesome.
Well, thank
you.
Well, you know, our last name is Vanderluck, and that means from the sky. So you can't give them, like, Jan. You know, you have to give them something cool.
That wouldn't be cool. I need to take a commercial break, but when I get back from that, I want to ask you about the self-help trifecta. So be ready for that, and everybody hold on with me for a minute, and we're going to take a quick commercial break.
Don't you know that every girl needs a good friend and a glass of wine?
Tuesday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the Right Stream Radio Network, tune in to host Daria Ann for Right Stream Tuesday. Daria Ann interviews talented authors in a variety of literary genres, from urban fantasy and historical romance to autobiography and science fiction. Right Stream Tuesday celebrates the creativity that flows through every author. It also delves into the all-important publishing and marketing aspects of writing, including the benefits and pitfalls of independent publishing versus traditional publishing, and how to effectively use social media for success. Write Stream Tuesday with Daria Ann, Tuesday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the Write Stream Radio Network.
Hi, this is Jennifer Coolidge. The American Heart Association says the disco song Stayin' Alive is the near-perfect beat for hands-only CPR. If you see a teen or adult collapse from cardiac arrest, you only need 2 steps to help save a life. Call 911 and push hard and fast in the center of the chest to the beat of the song Stayin' Alive. Disco is back and it's saving lives. To learn more, go to heart.org/hands-only-CPR.
Nationally supported by the WellPoint Foundation.
You're listening to the Right Stream Radio Network, rejoicing in the flow of creativity. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Right Stream and hashtag Right Stream. Thanks for listening to the Right Stream Radio Network.
And we're back. You're listening to Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss on the Right Stream Network. My name is Lisa Tarvis. I am co-hosting with Daria DiGiovanni and Kristen Fetterman, and we are here talking to the beautiful and wonderful and happy and yay, Tiffany Davidson Vanderluck.
And before we went to break, oh, by the way, anybody, if you have any questions or anything, any comments, we're down to the last few minutes of the show, so please call us at 347-945-7246. Again, that's 347-945-7246. You can just listen to the show from that number, or if you have a question or comment, you can press 1, and we'll see you in the queue, and we'll get you on the air. So anyway, back to Tiffany and her book called The Radical Self Expert. I'll tell the whole title. I'll tell the whole title later. I'm a little tired, you know, so I need a little break. Anyway, The Radical Self Expert. You talk about the self help trifecta, and I know that has something to do with breaking the rules of personal development. I know you were on my show, and I probably asked you the same question before, but what is the self-help trifecta?
Well, the self-help trifecta are those things that we've all been told about self-help, right, and personal development, like the way to do it, right? There's only one way, and you have to think positive, have a success mindset, and know your big why. And what those things do is they take away every ounce of the stuff that actually works for you, which is your truth, right? Your truth is as unique as your fingerprints. And what is true for me isn't true for everyone on the planet, right? If that were the case, then why would I be here? None of us would need to be if we weren't here to express ourselves, right, and add to the collective abundance and good and yumminess that life has, right? We're all here for a reason. If we were all doctors, there would be no nurses. It's sort of that kind of idea, right? So they did a study at the University of Waterloo that found that when you ask people with low self-esteem, and I'm raising my hand because I was one of those people with low self-esteem, really bad self-esteem, that if you ask someone to think positive with low self-esteem or even normal self-esteem, it ends up hurting their self-esteem. And they found that if you ask someone who has low self-esteem to think positively and to do affirmations and all of that stuff, then they feel badly. They feel worse because the stuff doesn't work. And I know that I found personally I would get angry with myself when I couldn't be positive. I would get angry with myself when I couldn't be like, you know, I'm like, what's wrong with you, Tiffany? Be happy. You have to be happy or you're not going to get those babies. You know, you're not doing, you're doing it wrong. Like what happens is interesting. We never challenge the system. We always think like, oh, the system isn't broken. We think we are broken. But we're just fine. The system just doesn't work for you. And so that was one of the tenets of, you know, the self-help trifecta is like the thinking positive and all that stuff. Then there's the know your big why. This is absurd because they say if you know your big why, then you'll magically spring into action. And, okay, that's not true because there are a lot of people who know why they shouldn't do certain things or know why they want certain things and still don't do it. And what happens is they start feeling worse because they're not getting it done. Right? We're like, oh, God, I know I should, you know, read to my kids every night, but I don't do it. You know, I'm so tired. I mean, I just worked a 20-hour shift. I know I should be doing it. I know it's important, and they're just not getting it done. Or I know I shouldn't eat that cupcake, and they eat that cupcake. I'm guilty of that one. I know all these things, and they know why, but they don't do it. And then they feel worse. So how is that helping you? How is that improving the self, right? And you know how I feel about self-improvement. So then there's the success mindset, which I just really don't understand that one at all because it says that you have to think like someone else and then you'll be successful. I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah.
So
yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. So if you know, which is absurd because you think all of the great minds were very much individuals, right? And that's what like made them great. You know, I'm a huge basketball fan. I played basketball. I coached basketball. And no one said, oh, Larry Bird, you need to be shooting like Magic Johnson. Like, you're doing it wrong. You need to be more like Kareem. You know, they were like, you know, Kareem is the best center of all time. Or, you know, so-and-so is doing – you know, when you start thinking that you have to be like someone else, you're always going to come from a place of lack. And you can't create abundance, whatever that is for you, from lack. Because the two energies are not aligned, right? You know, lack is a low energy. You know, abundance is a high energy. So how are you going to create that? Are you going to be in the middle? If you're in the middle, you're getting nothing, right? It's just the same. So I tell people, and then like they tell you in the success mindset,
that there are like 5 or 6 principles, right? You have to be persistent, you have to be committed, and I'm like, okay, wait, I know people who persist and are totally committed to being unhappy. So do they have a success mindset? Are they successfully unhappy? Like, how does that work? You know,
good question.
You have to, like, yeah. So what I invite people to do is just to look at things, like, and don't just blindly go, okay, well, you know, I need to be more positive, and that's why I'm not making money. I don't, you know, it might not be that you need to be more positive. It may be that you just need to be more open to all of the possibilities, like, especially as transformational people or change agents. You know, we think, okay, well, the only way we can make a lot of money is coaching or selling products to other coaches or other, yeah, but what if you could take all of that truth, right, and that same truth and take it to someplace else who could buy it, like, and who else could buy that from you? It doesn't have to be, okay, I have to sell to coaches. Maybe you could sell to acupuncturists. Maybe you could sell to doctors. Maybe you could sell to porn stars. I know someone that worked with me. She's a writer. And I brought this up because of Darianne, you know, she's a writer, and one of the ways that she deals with writer block is masturbation, right, and orgasms, and that's her whole thing. And so she was like, well, you know, it really helps me. I think it can help other people. And she was totally, like, terrified first to even say the word, like, oh, my God, right? But then I said, why don't you make a course for writer's block based around masturbation and orgasms and using your body as a facilitation, right? And she was like, oh, my God, you know, what are people going to think? There goes that fear, right? What are things people going to think about me? That's all outside job. Do you know her class is booked solid till June of 2014?
Really?
And, you know,
do you have any pool? Because I'd like to get in that course. Do you have any pool at all? Okay.
Like, I'll give you the link off the air because, you know, it's like, you know, what she does, she keeps it private.
I have a little writer's block right now.
I think you're doing just fine.
It's just like, it's an idea, right, Lisa? Like, just think about, you know, we have so many limitations. So if you got out of just, like, the self-help trifecta and stepped into what else is possible. Like, ask that question of yourself, and what else is possible here? And then when stuff comes up that you think isn't related to what you want to do and it feels light for you, leap towards that thing, even if it's not, like, directly in line with the thing that you say that you desire, because that might be the thing that's going to lead you to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. But we cut off because we go, oh, well, you know, teaching people, I'm a writer, I should write. Right, I'm a copywriter. I should write copy. Yeah, that's true. But what if you get that? That's true. Like, you can be a writer, but ask yourself, okay, am I a writer or am I a creative? Because if you're a creative, you can create anything. Right? Am I going to generate greater possibilities? Does this opportunity expand my life? Does it expand my bank account? Do I feel light when I do that? If I wasn't judging it, is it something that I would enjoy? And then follow that.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I love that. I like that. I like that concept. And, you know, you keep talking about the whole, like, you know, when it feels light, or, you know, mm-hmm. things like that. That's a big thing. You know, and I don't know if we're emphasizing exactly what that means.
Mm-hmm.
How do you define something that feels light?
Right. Okay. So this is what I call, like, your detector of truth. And we did it a little bit earlier with Kristen when I said, okay, if I say this to you, does it feel heavy or light? So, like,
right.
By heavy, I mean, like, you know how that contracted feeling you get, like someone is squeezing you? When someone says something to you and you know it's a lie, you feel like a heaviness or squeezing
right.
you, right? You feel like, ugh. Not like good or bad. It's not negative or positive necessarily. You know, it's just like, no. Like, if I say to you, do you like Van Halen better with David Lee Roth? You like him better with it. You're like, no. Right? It's not like it's bad. You're just like, no, it's just no. That doesn't, right? But if I say, hey, you know, you like Sammy Hagar, you're like, yeah. Right? Do you see, like, the different energy that happens when you say something that is true for you and when something is lie for you? So your body will facilitate what is true for you, and it will always be a unique experience for you. So if you feel expanded, when I say light, I mean expanded, like open. Not negative, not positive, Not good, not bad, not any of the other stuff. Those are all judgments. What you want to feel is like just like an openness, like, huh, that feels expansive. Yeah. Right? You want to feel bigger energetically,
yeah.
Right?
Right.
And when you feel contracted, it's like it's not true for you. It's a heavy energy. And that doesn't make it bad. You're not like judging the energy. You're just going, you know, that feels heavy. So, no, that doesn't feel expansive for me. That doesn't feel, you know, like something. That doesn't feel generative for me. That doesn't feel contributive, you know, for me. And that's cool, too. Yeah, so you're going to ask a question. So what you want to do, like, for my sweet little Christian there, what you're going to do, like, when you get ready to do something, go say to yourself, truth, or Chris, or however you refer to yourself, does this feel expansive for you? And just note your energy. If it feels like a no, then, you know, if it feels heavy, then you're like, no, that's not true for you. And it's okay to say no. It's okay to tell your mom no. It's okay to not do it. You know, and then ask yourself another question. Okay, well, truth, will this make me money? Your energy will tell you. Truth, will I enjoy this? You know, will this? Now, a lot of times we have that fear that comes up, right? Like, oh, God, yeah, you know. But we probably don't have time for that. We'll have to talk about that another time. But, you know, about how to deal with fear, because fear isn't actually, it doesn't actually exist. So, yeah, there's that.
Yeah, I still need to pick your brain about that one, because I like that. I like that. I like the idea. I've read about it, but I'd love to get your outtake, your opinion, your, I don't know.
Thoughts
on that. Thank you, Kristen.
Yeah.
Do you want to ask her about this?
Oh,
you already did. Oh, yeah, because Kristen had marked, she wanted to ask you about the detector of truth, and I think you already talked about that.
Yeah, you're light and heavy, Kristen. Follow what feels light for you, and don't just follow it. Leap towards it. Leap towards your lightness. It will always lead you to more lightness. And if you find, like, when you meet a guy, let's talk about your relationship. Like, if you meet a guy, and, you know, on paper you think, you know, I should like this guy, but it feels heavy for you, don't try to bring your lightness to his heaviness, because that will never happen, okay? You can't make him light with your lightness, because I sense energetically that what you do in relationship is you see these fixer-uppers, and you're like, okay, well, you know, I'm going to I'm gonna be like the beacon of hope for him.
She is a fixer-upper magnet. Oh, my God. She so is.
You know, and she's so compassionate. I sense that she has a lot of compassion, and because, you know, if you feel a little bit socially awkward, then you're very like, I don't want to judge anybody. I'm just going to try and take people as they are. You know, we all need love, and so I'm going to be the one who's not going to be like that, and I'm going to be open to these people who are, who don't deserve my lightness, really, and I know better. But I'm going to be that for them, because I don't like when people are that way with me. Does that sound about right?
Yeah. You know what's so funny is that's me like 30 years ago, you know? That's me.
Isn't that interesting?
And Kristen sits there and she'll be like, Mom, everything's not about you. And I'm like, first of all, yes, it is. Okay. Second of all, it's just saying that maybe genetically there may be some kind of likeness here, you know, that we may hold some same genes. I was a fixer-upper magnet. I was always looking for the people, friends, boyfriends, didn't matter. If they needed help, I was there. I was like, you know, superwoman. I had a cape and everything. And it was...
And then you let them walk all over you.
And then I let them walk all over me, and then I learned from it. So I think for me, with you, Kristen, I try to be the, you know, the person... I've already been there, done that, and I try to teach you through my mistakes. And Tiffany, tell me if you think this is true or not. I kind of feel like there are just so many things that we have to experience ourselves that we cannot learn because somebody else tells us how we screwed up. You know, I tell my daughter how I did the same thing, and I tell her a story about how, you know, and it's not, obviously, it's not completely, you know, verbatim the same story, but it's very similar. And she sits there, and she's like, Mom, this isn't about you. This isn't you. This isn't, you know, and I'm like, I'm just telling you that I've already learned this lesson, and, you know, this is what I learned.
do you think that we need to learn things the hard way in some cases?
God. Yeah. You know, it's just one of those things where, you know, it's just part of the human experience on some level, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's, you know, but the thing is, like, we can get through those experiences without the suffering. Suffering's optional. Like, we can have life and living, but the suffering is something that we choose. And I think what's really cool about you, Kristen, is that, you know, your mom is, you know, has done the work, and she is more intuitively aware. So, like, if you can hold on to your truth at 19, you don't have to go through all that other stuff, because you can go, you know what, that feels heavy. I'm not going over there. That feels heavy.
Yeah.
I'm not choosing him. I don't. You can see more possibilities at 19. Like, you know, Lisa, you see things that your mom didn't see. And even though, you know, we might have done the same mistakes and stuff. Because light, it doesn't say in heaviness. It says enlightenment, right? For lightning.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, you can be more enlightened and make more enlightened choices. And the cool thing is that, Kristen, the more you stay on your truth and the more light you feel, the more people with that energy you will attract. And you don't have to be a fixer-upper, because they're going to come to your space, and you guys are all just going to let each other be that energy of possibility. You know, like, we don't have to try and fix each other when we're all just trying to create and generate and be and contribute to, like, what else is possible for all of us. So, you know, and it really is a choice. You get to choose. You get to choose if you want to suffer. How cool is that? You know,
yeah,
I don't choose that.
It's really amazing. It really is.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking amazing here, because you just don't you don't realize that half the stuff we go through is just stuff we don't have to go through. You know, I mean, it's
right.
Stuff that we're choosing, that we're deciding. Okay, this is the way I'm gonna run my life, and unfortunately, you know, it's not always the greatest choices.
Well,
but
let me ask you this. I have to interrupt, because I just want to put this out to your listeners and to your daughter here. Okay, tell us truly, when you were going in those bad relationships, right? Did you feel heavy or light? When you meet a guy, did you feel, oh, this feels light for me? Or did you feel like, well, this is heavy, but, you know, I'm going to be there for him and like that? Like, which conversation did you have? This feels light and expansive for me. Not in those words, but like, yeah, I feel good about myself in this relationship. Or, golly, like, why am I here again going through this? Which one feels more was more indicative of what was going on at the time?
Well, I mean, I think at the beginning it's always a lighter feeling, like a happy, like, oh, yay, a new relationship. And then it all goes to hell, and, you know, then you get the heaviness. And
that's
what needs to be
the case.
But isn't there the aspect, too, of having, you know, doesn't it make you feel good to help someone else, to know you're making a difference for someone else? So if you're in a relationship and, you know, yeah, I mean, it may be a temporary thing where you're feeling good because you're doing so much rescuing, but that wears, you can't do it forever.
Yeah, especially
like
when the person
rescuing.
Just takes and takes and takes. And
yeah, well, I mean, that's what most people, but that's what happens. I mean, people that are needy, unfortunately, a lot of times, I feel, stay needy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they just, that's just their M.O. That's
and
just
they get
the
greedy.
Way, that's just the way they work. And if they find somebody...
Yeah.
If they find somebody who will keep giving, they're going to keep taking.
True.
I mean, like, that's one of those things that, you know, and think about this. What feels better, being the space and energy of possibility or sacrificing yourself? Which one feels better? Which one feels lighter? I'm all for possibility. You know, when I think of being a stand for what is possible for someone in their lives, and, you know, that feels light for me. When I think of self-sacrificing and giving and giving and giving, does that feel light for you?
No.
No.
No, absolutely not. No, when you're dating someone and you know they're not going to go to work unless you call and wake them up like their mother, there's nothing light about that. That's ridiculous. That's parenting, you know, that's parenting that you're not supposed to be doing at 17, 18 years old. You know, it's ridiculous. So
thanks.
You're welcome. I mean, all this.
When you feel like you're giving, 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 and it's heavy, you're like, okay, this is heavy for me. This is not true for me.
Yeah. And then there's nothing left you can do.
No. Because they get to choose just like you get to choose. If you get to choose what is true for you, they get to choose too, right? Like, you don't have a monopoly on choice. So
yeah.
If you're choosing, then they get to choose. But the thing is, you have to love yourself enough, and you have to love him enough to let him choose. Like, he has to choose for himself. We're not God. We can't usurp someone. We can't think, okay, well, if I do a little more, then magically he's going to wake up and start doing it for himself. That's not how it works.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
I think when you're young.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, I think you're right. I think when you're younger, I think a lot of times you think that you're going to be able to save the world and you're going to be able to fix everyone. And I think it's a lesson that you learn as you get older. And I think as women, we are naturally nurturers,
mm-hmm.
and it's what we do.
True.
You know?
True.
It's what we do. It's what we do. We're always mm-hmm. trying to make everybody feel better, be better, you know, their lives be easier. And, and sometimes that's just enabling. You know, we're just enabling bad behavior, you know, in a way, because we're taking care of them on a level that, you know, that's a little over the top. You know, people need to take care of themselves. They need to learn how to deal with their own stuff, you know, and
mm-hmm.
that's just the way it is. So,
Kristen, if you struggle with unlovable, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you're good. You're good, Tip. Go.
Okay. So if you struggle with I am lovable, here's something that you can do, right, because it's something that I struggle with, right, because, you know, I always feel like, oh, God, I'm not lovable. So one thing you can say, especially as it relates to relationships, you can say, ask this question, because ask and you shall receive is one of the truths of the universe. Yeah? It's in the Bible. It's, you know, it's in the Quran. I mean, it's everywhere, right? Ask and you shall receive, one of the truths of the universe. Yeah? So what you do is you start asking empowering questions, because here's the thing. Questions get the mind to look for answers, right? And your life is the sum total of the questions you've been asking. Like if you ask, God, why does my life suck? Do you notice how your brain goes, oh, well, your life sucks because it gives you like a list. So what if you ask, like, what if you say, well, what else is possible here? You go, what would it take to meet someone who would receive all of me? Do you see how that, like, opens up the possibility? Like, what would it take to – and, like, your brain will do the same thing. And what happens is you'll start to notice things that are connected to that question, that are more filled with possibility and that are creative and generative and contributive to your life and to your living. So instead of asking, you know, why am I so unlovable, but, you know, what would it take to meet someone who would receive all of my eccentricities, who would receive all of the things that make me uniquely Christian? Like, what would it take for me to have that? And, like, sit in that space of openness.
Mm-hmm.
Can you do that?
Yeah. Yeah. I get what you're saying.
Yeah. Just start asking questions. Every time something yucky comes up for you, when you go, what talent? So your mom's like, oh, you're very talented. And that mind tells you, you're not talented. You suck. So what would it take for me to be the full expression of my gifts? What would that look like for me? Like, what would it take for me to be able to express this more? What would it take for me to more deeply connect to my gifts? And the cool part is your brain will go look for the answers just like it went to go look for the negative ones, and you don't even have to believe your question. You're just saying it to create the space for you to receive the stuff you want. So you don't even have to go to that, I got to believe it, I got to embody it, it has to be true. You're just like, you know, what would it take?
Yeah.
And when it shows up and something feels light for you, then you go and you follow that. So if an opportunity comes up for you to do something really cool that you love, you know, and it seems like, oh, that'll just be play, follow that energy. Because, you know, it's going to lead you to more lightness and more lightness and more lightness and more lightness until you get to the – and then when you get there, go, and what else is possible? Ask another question to get more. Because as long as you're asking, you are in the process of receiving more goodies.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good way to think
of it. It's a great, that's great advice. Excellent advice. We're down to the last couple minutes, Tiffany, and I want to give you a chance to say anything that we didn't already have a chance to talk about. And I want to also let everybody know the title of your book again is The Radical Self Expert, The Fastest, Simplest 7-Step Method to Discover How to Be Your True Self, Change Your Life Now, and Be Happy Today the Easy Way. And our guest is Tiffany Jameson Vanderlook, and she is, well, she's living in the Netherlands, but your book's on Amazon and
Barnes and Noble, all of those places.
Any last thoughts? Anything that you wanna say? Anything that's going on with you that you wanna promote? Anything like that?
Well, something really cool that we're doing is I'm helping conscious business owners generate more money. Like, who doesn't love that, right? And so it's called Yay Me Moneymaker. And so, there'll be some links to that. If you just go to the Yay Me University website, you'll learn, I think last time I taught three, there's 100 and something ways that I came up with that I've helped people generate cash, really easily, that are ethically.
Yeah.
And there's, if you want to, come and join, the training is totally free, and it's just a way to add some revenue streams. I'm a fan of wealth, however that looks for you. And, and your connection to money, most people don't have enough, right? And so I want to make sure that conscious business owners have lots of money, because conscious business owners care. And those are the people that we want having money. We want more Bill Gates. Right, we want more Oprah Winfrey's. We want more people who are doing things in the world, and it's absolutely available to you once you get past the monkey mind. And then coming up in a few weeks, we're going to be doing a Radical and Free and Fearless Secrets, where we actually deal with the whole idea of fabricated fears, because fears don't actually exist. So, but all of that stuff is on the main website, because those web addresses are long. Just go to theyayme.university.com. And, stuff is always posted there. And there's a whole bunch of freebies, meditations and expansion MP3s you can get, free videos, free infographics. I try to equip anyone in the Radical Yay community with as many tools in my arms possible. So come over there.
Ah, that's fantastic. And I've been on your website several times and absolutely love it. There's so much great information on there. So I really definitely want to encourage all the listeners to go to www.yayemeuniversity.com and see what Tiffany's got going on, because you've got some really great programs and some really, really just positive ways to make your life a little bit better. So, and I really appreciate you being our first guest, Tiffany. I know it's very late.
Yay!
Very early. Okay, very early, I guess, really, technically, for you there in the Netherlands. So I want to give you a special thank you for staying up so late with us tonight.
Helping us premiere.
yes, it was really great for you to help premiere the first episode of Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss. Hopefully many more to come, and hopefully you'll be a guest again for us very soon.
Yeah.
I would love that. I'm sorry it's so late, but, just put your husband in charge. Take some naps, and you'll be good. You can make it.
Anything for you, darling. I told you, anything for you. I love your mission. I love what you're doing. And, I just wishing you guys so much success. I'm sending all of my energy you right now to just create magical things for this. I think it's a really great thing. And I'm so glad your daughter is here. What an awesome contribution she's being.
I know. She's so awesome, and she needs to realize just how awesome she is. So mommy is forcing her to stretch her wings a little bit, and start finding that she has more talent than she's accepting right now. So, so that's what we're doing. That's my mission. So, but that's okay. She's getting there. I think this was good for her tonight. I think talking to you, Tiffany, was very good for her tonight. So I really appreciate that as well.
My pleasure. I'm glad
Thank
to be
you.
Here in Sister Space. Thank you so much,
well,
ladies.
Thank you. Thank you. We'll talk to you soon. All right.
Okay, yay. Bye-bye.
Yeah, yay.
Bye.
Bye. All right, everybody. That was Tiffany Jameson Vanderluck. She is the author of the book, The Radical Self-Expert, The Fastest, Simplest Seven-Step Method to Discover How to Be Your True Self, Change Your Life Now, and Be Happy Today the Easy Way. What did you think? What did you think, Daria? Did you think she was a great guest to have on?
Yeah, she's awesome. I love her energy. Next time we have her on, I would like to get into a discussion more about how what she teaches differs, like, from somebody like a Louise Hay. It's not that I want to name names specifically, but I'm just curious, having been a student of the 4T Prosperity Program, Louise Hay, and all of these people
right.
that we consider sort of gurus in that whole movement. I'm just curious, and it's not about, like, criticizing anyone, but I'm just curious what the distinctions are, you know. I'd like to delve more into that next time.
Yeah, and I think she does have some. I think she does have some pretty deep distinctions in a lot of ways. She looks at things a little bit different than a lot of the other self experts out there, the self help people that are the gurus right now that are the most famous and things like that, like Louise Hay, like Wayne Dyer, et cetera. There's a little bit of a difference, and she's. Really fantastic. I think she's got a great way of looking at things, and she always seems to stay so positive and happy. So you know what? It must be working. Something must be working that she's doing.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed having her on, and it was a great first episode. I'm so happy that everyone tuned in to listen, and hopefully we're going to grow a huge following, and some people will start listening to. This, if they didn't listen to it live, they'll catch it archived and start listening to us with the show Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss on the Right Stream Network every Friday night at 7 p.m. We will be here, Daria Ann DiGiovanni. Daria Ann DiGiovanni. That's hard to say too many times in a row.
Or you could just say Daria Ann and drop the last name.
Or just Daria and forget the last name. Okay. Then there's, of course, me, Lisa Charvis, and, of course, my beautiful daughter, Kristen Fetterman. And we're going to be here every Friday night, and we're going to be bringing you great guests, trying to cover really important topics for women. Right now we are a little focused on getting, dealing with negative people, dealing with toxic people, things like that, because of the fact that it is the holidays and we are all kind of, unfortunately, a bit cursed with having to deal with that whether we want to or not. But, I've got some hysterical stuff planned. You guys are going to love it. I've got some great guests planned that are just going to, we're going to talk about some really fun stuff. So I really hope that everybody tunes in every Friday night at 7 and listens to the three of us on Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss. Anything you want to say, Daria?
No, I'm just looking forward to next week, and thanks, everyone, for joining us tonight.
Yep, great show, a lot of fun. Want to thank Tiffany again for being our first guest, and want to thank the audience for listening. And everybody, check out our website at rightstreamradio.com. Wait, is it Rightstream Network or is it Rightstream Radio? I had a little bit of a senior moment there. So rightstreamradio.com, go there and check out all of our shows. We have Just Believe, my show, which is on Sundays, Military Monday on Mondays with John Gresham, Rightstream Tuesday with Daria Ann. And on Wednesdays, we have the Family Power Hour, which is a fantastic show. It's our newest show. Well, our second newest now, Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss, is now
yep.
Friday night at 7, and that is now officially our newest show since we actually did
Yay!
Get on air and make it happen. Yay! Tiffany would love that. Yay! Her favorite word. So I just want to thank all the listeners for tuning in, whether you did it live or you did it archived. We really appreciate you listening, and we really appreciate you coming back next week to listen to us again, and we'll have another great show for you next week, 7 o'clock, Friday night. And with Kristen, do you have anything else you want to say?
Oh, no, I'm all right, but thank you for listening.
Kristen's like, this is her first time ever on the radio. So she's like, wow, I made it. Yay.
Yay, right? Yay.
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 Okay.
Yay. Tune into Just Believe Sunday night at 7.
Right. Turn into Just Believe. We're going to be talking about reincarnation Sunday night at 7 o'clock.
Cool.
Yes, it's going to be a fascinating show. The more I learn about this guy, Frank Mars or Mares, I forget his name, but he's going to be my guest. Actually, I know his name. I just don't know how to pronounce it yet. But he's going to be my guest on Sunday night, and he wrote a book called something like The Journey of Reincarnation or My Journey with Reincarnation, something like that. I don't have my notes in front of me, so I'm not positive. But it's definitely about reincarnation, and he's got a fascinating story. So I hope everybody tunes in to listen to that on Sunday night, 7 o'clock. And until then, and until next Friday at 7, thank you all for listening. It's been a fantastic show, and we look forward to talking to everybody next week. And make sure, girls, you get your glass of wine or your cup of tea and join us, and we will be here again next week, same time, same place, on Blog Talk Radio, on the Right Stream Network, on Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss. And you know, here's our theme song. Here's our theme song. It's called Kristen hates our theme song. It's called Good Friend and a Glass of Wine. That's right. Everybody hang in there. We'll talk to you next week.
We'll talk to you next week.
Good night.
Good friend.